to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And yes, it is a new year. We've been talking about setting goals. We have been talking about striving in our faith and learning more and more about the Lord and being more like Him, climbing, reaching towards those goals, reading the Word, praying, worshiping, witnessing, serving the Lord, serving others. And so this morning, we're going to look at the subject of worship this morning, the subject of worship. Let me read to you a quote from A.W. Tozer. He says, "Christian churches have come to the dangerous time predicted long ago. It is a time when we can pat one another on the back, congratulate ourselves, and join in the glad refrain, 'We are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing.' It certainly is true that hardly anything is missing from our churches these days, except the most important thing. We are missing the genuine and sacred offering of ourselves and our worship to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. My own loyalties and responsibilities are and always will be with the strongly evangelical, Bible-believing, Christ-honoring churches. We have been surging forward. We are building great churches and large congregations. We are boasting about high standards, and we are talking a lot about revival. But I have a question, and it is not just rhetoric. What has happened to our worship?" What a good way to put that. What has happened to our worship? May 2019 be a year that we have truly worshiped the Lord. And no matter what we bring in this place, all of our piety, all of our religion, all of our striving, nothing can happen with worship unless God ordains it to happen. So may God show up, and may we truly experience Him in ways that we never have before. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, in honor of the Word of God, may we stand together for the reading. "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, 'I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord.' And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.' Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." This is the word of the Lord. Father God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God and King. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we come to the scripture this morning, as we look at this subject of the first account, perhaps, of formal worship in the scriptures that takes place. And worship is the act of loving God, the act of showing Him honor, the giving of Him the worth that is due Him, that is all His. We have a couple of questions this morning. As I read this, I have questions. And perhaps you have the same questions. Why was it that Cain's offering was unfavorable to the Lord? And why was it that Abel's was? What took place here? And what can be lessons for you and I as we look at this first account of worship, this first account of loving God and honoring God and bringing the sacrifice unto the Lord God Almighty. A.W. Tozer wrote, "I am of the opinion that we should not be concerned about working for God until we have learned the meaning and the delight of worshiping Him." And I so agree with that statement. So many times in our churches we talk about going out and working, going out and serving, but we go out on fuel tanks that are empty because you and I have not spent time with God Almighty and encountered Him. We've not had the experience of Isaiah when his cousin Uzziah, the king, died and he found himself in the temple and he's worshiping and he sees the Lord who is high and lifted up. And as he encounters the Lord and the Lord sends out his word and his call, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah, out of worship, out of reverence, out of awe of the Almighty, says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Is the worship of the Lord something that you look forward to each and every week? Is the worship of the Lord and experiencing Him something that you long to do and you long to experience? Is encountering God awesome and wonderful and great? Listen, if we truly encountered God, this place would be full every Sunday, right? Because encountering God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, there is nothing dull. There is nothing boring about that, right? I think it was one of my favorite authors who put it this way. Many times in our Baptist churches, we start at 11 sharp and end at 12 dull. Wow, what a way to put it, right? Because we're ready to get started on time, but we're ready to get out of here too. What if it were that we were worshiping so much so that we lost track of time? We were worshiping so that we lost the thought of what we were going to do next. We were just worshiping the Lord. In this account, why is it that Cain's offering was unacceptable, but Abel's was pleasing to the Lord? Well, if I may, I'm going to make a couple of general statements. And here is one of them. The Bible tells us what we need to know, right? But the Bible doesn't always tell us all the details. Now, we have to be very reverent, careful not to add anything to the text or take anything from it, correct? But I believe that we can safely assume that God had revealed to the family of Adam and Eve what was acceptable for worship. God had put something out there. These men just didn't think it up in thin air. God gave a standard for worship. And worship does not happen unless God initiates it and God ordains it. And God has a part of it, because without God, it's not worship, right? Amen. So we give Him all the honor and the glory and the praise as we come before Him. We give Him the worship that is due Him. He is the one, however, that sets the tone. He sets the standard. He sets it all down. We can also safely assume by this time there are a lot more people that are listed here, because the Bible tells us later on that Adam and Eve had many children. It tells us that when Cain leaves after he is banished and the punishment comes down from God, that he takes for himself a wife. Who on earth would he have married other than a daughter or granddaughter of Adam and Eve? You say, well, that's gross. That's incest. But we're talking about the people that came out of the garden. They're perfect, right? They were made perfect in God's image. And so there is no flaw that has been passed down by sin now. So these people are pure. These people have no genetic flaws. So how else are you going to grow a population, but they grow by the brothers and sisters intermarrying until the family grows and until they have the people? So Cain takes himself a wife. He undoubtedly takes it from the family. We can also assume that at this time, these men are grown because they're farming. They're tilling the soil. They're farming. They're growing produce and they're growing animals. They're growing livestock for the purpose of clothing and for the purpose of feeding the families. So there must have been many people here. And when Cain kills his brother Abel, he is afraid. He's not just afraid of his mom and dad. He's probably afraid of the family of his brother Abel that are going to come up against him. So the thing I want us to really take home here is that there is a standard of worship, and God has set the standard. There's a standard for you and I, and it is obedience to God the Father. What did God tell Saul? God told Saul that it's better to obey than have a sacrifice, right? So the whole teaching of the scriptures is that we do things God's way. And we do things according to God's standard, correct? We do it His way because it's all about Him. After all, it is for Him. And we're living in a day and we're living in an age that our young people are seeing a nation, and our young people are seeing a society that wants to live any old way they want and then come before God and say, God ordains this and God blesses this. Hogwash, it's not in the text. It's not in the scripture. Amen. We must do things God's way. People say, oh, well, God's a loving God. God, it doesn't matter what you do, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you do, God loves you, but listen, God's love is tough love sometimes. And God is a God of anger, and God is a God of wrath. And read the scriptures beginning in Genesis and see how God deals with the people that refuse to do things His way. And so the problem that we're having here with Cain is he is prideful. And he brings something that he throws together and he says, this is acceptable to God, but it wasn't something that God had ordained as acceptable unto him. So that's our first general statement. A second general statement I just want to make, and make this brief, God is God, right? I've heard people tell me in my ministry, I don't like the fact that sacrifices have to take place in the Old Testament. I don't like that they killed animals. Boy, Peter would have gone nuts in the Old Testament, right? Our society would have gone crazy. I'm going to preach a sermon later on in the year when we get closer to Easter. But I'm going to preach it on the lamb. But here's the whole gist of it. I want you to come, but I'm going to give you the whole gist right now. That little lamb was taken into the home, and it was loved and it was cared for by the entire family. And then the day came to have to sacrifice that lamb. And it was gross. And the kids probably cried. Mamas and daddies most likely cried because they loved the lamb. But the lamb had to make atonement for the sins of the family. And it was a sad day. But you and I, we have sinned. We fall short of God's glory. And Cain and Abel had sinned. And so there must be a way of atonement. And the Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. And we get a little more in Romans. In Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus the Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed, for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Put that in your pocket because we're going to come back to it, right? All that to say, people say, I don't like the sacrificial system. I don't like it that Jesus had to die. If Jesus had not died on the cross, you and I would still be destitute and lost in our sins and damned to eternity of hell apart from God the Father. And so we don't like it. You don't like it. Who cares? That's how God says it's going to be. And it's God's way. It's another problem in our society. We have lost authority in our society. You can't really be a leader until you've learned how to follow, right? You can't really do things in leading and changing the world until you've learned an order and learned to follow things as well. I was never in the military, but I sure have high regard for those who are. And they say boot camp is horrible, right? I heard a boot camp's terrible. But what are they teaching you in boot camp? They're teaching you that there's an authority. And you've got to obey the authority. If you don't learn the order of this, you're not going to be a very profitable soldier. Matter of fact, we're going to kick you out and you're not going to be a soldier in the army. There is God's kingdom and God's army. And listen, there is order to it. And you and I must learn His order and His way of doing things in order to serve in His kingdom. So the general statements, of course, God is God. He has He's made atonement for sins through the blood. The atonement is reparation or expiation, and it simply means to repair or to cover up. Because we've messed things up. Now, there must be a covering up, a repairing of the things that we messed up. What have we messed up? We've messed up our relationship with God the Father. Adam and Eve were in the garden having a great, merry old time. Can you imagine being in the garden? Jennifer and I had the privilege of building our own house in Cleveland, Tennessee. And this was our dream house. Man, we poured every ounce of money in this house that we could ever muster up or ever borrow. And we loved this house. It was on my great-grandfather's, the corner of his farm, that he used his war pension from World War I to buy this farm. And it had sentimental value to it. And then God lifted us up out of Tennessee and He planted us in Georgia. We found out that God had brought us here and we liked it. Now we wanted a place. And so we had to sell and part with that place in Tennessee that we loved so much. So that we could have a place here. I say all that to say, there's sometimes I still think about that house. I was in every little bit of putting that house together. Cement all over me. Roofing all over me. Because the roofer left a lot of roofing off. And I had to get up there and point that out because somehow he didn't see it through his Michelob breath. And it was tough building a house. But I was there. And I miss that house sometimes. I miss that land. I say that to say, can you imagine being out of the garden and thinking back to the place that you left? You had to leave because God said you've got to get out of here. You no longer can stay here because of the sin and because you have disobeyed me. Can you imagine thinking back to the Garden of Eden? Reparation had to be made. Repairs had to be made so that we could walk with God, commune with God. Never like we used to, but something of that communication with Him. And the only way through that is through His way, through the sacrificial system. Let me just close the general statements by saying this. Not everything that you and I do. Not everything that you and I do in church, not everything you and I do in our life is favorable in God's sight. And just because the denomination or just because a group of people put their stamp on something doesn't mean it is favorable in His sight. I'm a Baptist through and through. But if my Baptist brethren vote on some things and affirm some things that some of the other denominations are affirming right now, and it's probably coming, I'm no longer a Southern Baptist. Because I'm foremost a believer in Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm foremost a follower of Him. And this book is my authority and not some denomination. Amen. So we do things God's way. And not everything we do is favorable in his sight. So why then, though, can we understand that Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable? Well, it was not acceptable because it was prideful. And he thought more of his sacrifice than he thought of the God to whom he was sacrificing it. He thought more of himself, that he was worthy, rather than God, and God alone is worthy. We come before God, and again, like Isaiah, we realize that, Lord, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And there ought to be some sense of this every time you and I come to church, that we don't try to make one another feel bad, right? That's not our purpose. But as we come before a holy God, there ought to be something that drives us to our knees. Because he is holy and we're not. He is perfect and we're sinful. And we're still trying and attempting by his help to master our sin, right? But as long as we're on this side of heaven, we're going to have a sin problem. It is a disease. It is terrible. It's horrible. And that disease is disgusting in the sight of an awesome, powerful, wonderful God. People say, oh, that worship service made me feel so good. Did you really meet God? Yeah, I think God lifts us up sometimes, but just to see him again, to encounter him, it ought to just throw us to the ground, to where we say, oh, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. But Lord, I am undone. And without you, I am nothing. Cain comes prideful. Cain comes with a wrong attitude. And as we go to the scriptures, in the New Testament, it sheds some light on this. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Listen, it just didn't happen on the day of worship, right? Cain was bent towards evil living. Cain was bent towards unrighteousness. And day in and day out, he did the wrong thing. And then when he slaps the offering together, the sacrifice together, and he comes and he worships the Lord, things didn't go well. You can't hate your brother and come to worship and expect God to come down. You can't live like the devil Monday through Saturday and then mosey on into worship and expect all heaven to break open and the glory to come down. You and I can't mingle and mix with Satan and then come in here and just shake it off real quick and mingle and mix with God. Worship is not just one day. Worship is every day. Worship is every minute and every hour. And it's how we live. And Cain chose to live apart from God's way. He chose disobedience for God. So this is why God is not accepting his sacrifice. This is why God does not bless him. This is why God doesn't put favor on it. And so many times we're coming to church, we say, Lord, we've got it all together. Lord, we got the best music. Lord, we got the best Sunday school. Lord, we got the best van. Lord, it's a bus, Brian. We've got it all together, right? But do we really have it all together? Maybe we have it all together in the flesh, but in the spirit, we're so far amiss. It's no wonder God doesn't come down. People tell me all the time in this church and every other church, we need us a revival. We need us a Holy Ghost revival. Well, it doesn't start on the night of revival. It starts today, right here, right now, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. So may we pray for one another and lift one another up, that we live in a way that is favorable to God, not because of our righteousness, but because of the imputed righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ the Lord. And that brings us to Abel. Why was his sacrifice acceptable? Well, again, in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through, what's the word? Faith. Though he is dead, he still speaks. So why then is the sacrifice acceptable? Because Abel did things God's way. And he believed in his heart and he trusted in his mind that God's way was the right way. So he did it God's way. And so he brings the blood sacrifice before God. And it pleased God. She said, Brian, then how are we to worship in the year 2019? Because we don't sacrifice anymore. Oh, yes, we do. We sacrifice our lives. We put it all on the altar for the Lord. But the ultimate offering is not the sacrifice that we bring. It's the one that was provided. Because God said that while we were yet sinners, Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One of Heaven, the Chosen One, God, the Son, becomes flesh and dwells amongst us. And so every Sunday and every quiet time and every time we come before the Lord, as sinful people, we come carrying an atonement, a gift, a sacrifice. And it is Jesus, the one provided. We come empty-handed, but he provides it for us. We come with nothing to bring, yet he gives us everything. How cool is that? Father, Lord, God, Lord, we want to see you in all of your glory. We want to know you. But Lord, the only way for us to know you is through Jesus, the Chosen One, the Messiah. So that's why I sing how great he is. That's why we sing, oh, the love and the grace and the mercy and all about Jesus. Because it's all about him that we are here. It's because of him that we're here. It's because of him that we're able to be here. So, Lord, here we are. Lord, in the next few moments, may we come humbly before you. And, Lord, may we just worship you. Just worship you.